And we had Ministry of Angels. Now we're going back to living and perception. Hallelujah. But this time our focus changes. We're looking at, you know, the last time we had leading and perception, we're looking at recognizing the voice of God, right? And we differentiated, in recognizing the voice of God, we differentiated between dreams, visions, revelations, right? And we, this time we're looking at the inward witness under the same series, leading and perception series. Hallelujah. So we have other teachings as regards leading and perception. We have new birth and the leading of the spirit. We have the inward witness, right? So this is following the inward witness. Just under the same leading and perception spirit. Hallelujah. Following the inward witness. Hallelujah. And it will take us for weeks. This is evil. We'll have to discuss this for weeks, into months. I know that. Hallelujah. Quite lengthy one. So we're looking at that spirit. Okay. Hallelujah. So let's start as we always do. Matthew 28 from verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, saying, all authority has been given me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go therefore, make disciples of every nation. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Something I need to point out here again. I recently heard someone teaching about the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost from Matthew 28. I'm like, no. That isn't in the original. Something we say have to teach on inward witness is we have no collaboration again. As regards that word. We have a collaboration in the epistles. We have a collaboration in the Old Testament. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But the body is there in 1 John. No. You didn't read it well. Hallelujah. If you read the epistle of John, what John did was, what was added when he said that three that bear witness, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Look at it again. It was italicized. Hallelujah. Just something to just chicken. Hallelujah. So you shouldn't make a church out of that. Hallelujah. So we don't have a collaboration where that word Father, Son, and Holy Ghost was used together. Hallelujah. So is that how they go make disciples? When you read Mark, Luke, and John's account, you discover that go make disciples in my name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not baptizing into name, baptizing them into my name. Hallelujah. So make disciples, baptize them into the Father and the Holy Ghost. It's teaching them. Now, that becomes very vital. It is teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He said, and know I am is with you always, right? Even to the end of the age. Amen. Mark 15 from verse 15, and he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel. He said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He said, he that believes not shall be damned. And this time shall follow them that believe in my name. He said, they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Luke 24 from verses 45. He says, and he opened he their understanding that they might comprehend the scripture. He says, and thus it is written, and thus it behoves Christ to suffer these things and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins will be preached in his name amongst all nations beginning at Jerusalem. He said, and ye are witnesses of these things. Hallelujah. That's Luke. Then John 20:22. He said, and he said to them, and he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He said, whosoever sins, ye remit, are remitted. And whosoever ye retain, are retained. Hallelujah. So we said this will be the closing instruction of Jesus when he taught them within the 40 days, right? This will be the instructions of the 40 days. It's very unlikely that he was giving these instructions like he was very... Okay, let me put it like this. These instructions might not be instructions that were spelled out once, right? Because for them to capture it this way, it will show that it was instructions that was received during the 40 days. Okay, following me. During the 40 days. Hallelujah. But yet,
The instructions are the same.
Remember, Apollo, they have the same instructions, though captured in different forms. But yet the same. Hallelujah. Yet the same instruction within the prophecy. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
And you say they are the same because they speak about make men disciples.
Right?
So, and what will happen in discipleship? Make, how will you make men disciples?
Mark will say, preach the gospel. Luke will say, the gospel of God's forgiveness of sins.
Hope you are following me.
So, he is preaching the gospel that when a man believes, John will not say his sins are forgiven.
Did you see that?
His sins are forgiven. Glory to God.
Paul will collaborate John and Luke.
No, we collaborate John in Ephesians chapter 1.
He says in him, we say we'll have what? Forgiveness of sins.
Hallelujah. He said we'll have redemption through his blood. He said the forgiveness of sins.
Hallelujah.
We'll have redemption in his blood.
The forgiveness of sins.
So that means what we'll receive is what? Forgiveness of sins.
Redemption in his blood, which is the forgiveness of sins.
Hope you're following me here.
Glory to God.
Okay, let's go ahead. Let's move ahead a bit. So,
we said, when Jesus talked, Luke showed us, we look at Luke's account, right? He showed us that he taught from the chapter 9 book, right?
I need to state this clearly. He taught from the chapter 9 book.
That means, the instructions of Jesus will be the instructions of Scripture.
And this instruction will be the same.
The instruction of Scriptures from Genesis has not changed till tomorrow.
It's the same.
Okay, believe me.
It's the same.
Preaching the gospel is the same. You know, I don't know that I put up something out there a time ago and someone was not happy because it was a drama director. But that's not the truth. I said, art and culture
date back to years before Christ.
In fact, date back to thousands of years before Jesus came.
But yes, in fact,
he said, no, they were not professionals.
That was wrong to say.
Because the professionals you call today are reading what those guys wrote. Right?
They are reading from what they wrote.
So you don't call them that they were not professionals. They were. Hallelujah. They were professionals.
Hallelujah.
But you know, it is as far back as that. He's his owner. But yet, God didn't change how the rich or saved will be rich. God didn't change it. Hallelujah.
How are we following this?
We're going to see something else to focus. God didn't change it. It's via the preaching of the gospel.
Hallelujah.
Is that the preaching of the gospel? That means in the preaching of the gospel, the giving of the gospel is a platform for the Spirit of God to walk in the heart of your sin. Hope you're following me. It's a platform. You know, no, I feel like doing choreography to win souls. You are living.
Hallelujah. Hope you're following me.
So God's instruction has not changed. God's modus operandi has not changed. God's way of getting to the unsaved has not changed. God's models has not changed.
Brothers and sisters,
it has not changed. Hallelujah. Technology, time might have changed. Language might have changed. But God's way of reaching the unsaved hasn't changed. God's plan hasn't changed. God's purpose hasn't changed. God's pursuit hasn't changed.
Hallelujah.
So yours shouldn't change.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Amen. So,
glory to God.
So, all through Scripture, God's instruction is the same, and His instruction is towards His thousand years, right?
Glory to God.
Something you're going to see is that the leading of the Spirit is one force majorly towards this same purpose.
Come and follow me. God starts in the earth.
So we're going to see how to go on into the week.
Hallelujah.
So, also, take note, instruction was given to his disciples. He didn't give the instructions to everyone. No, he gave it to specific people. Hallelujah.
So the instructions were to his disciples. So what does that tell you?
It tells you, now God will give the instruction to his man in Genesis, right? God will give instructions to his men to carry out.
So look at this.
So that means if the instruction was given to his disciples, it then means you cannot take away instructions from discipleship. Okay, follow me. You cannot take away instructions from discipleship. You can't.
Hallelujah.
You can't take away instructions from discipleship. Something we'll see tomorrow during service. Hallelujah. We'll see that during service tomorrow as we discuss on the local church, my spiritual group.
Hallelujah.
No, yeah, actually, no, you can't.
Don't look at.
He hasn't been fixed. Because instruction is discipleship itself.
No, you know.
Hallelujah. Very important.
Or you say, put it this way, instruction is in discipleship. Okay, let's go this way.
So Jesus, reading from the scriptures, tells us that not only does God use man, right, also shows you that theology outside the written word is not theology. Because listen to me, Jesus reads from the Pastoral book. Listen.
Now he reads from the Tabernacle book.
His teachings were confided to the Tabernacle book. His teaching ministry was not from any other material. Hallelujah. Was majorly from, if not solely, from the Tabernacle book. I hope you are following this. That shows you, listen, that shows you that I cannot get theology from other materials. Theology, scripture is theology. Hope you're following me. Scripture is God's study.
Hallelujah.
So theology outside the scripture, outside the Bible, is not theology. In the years to come, you'll see why I'm making such kind of exclamations like this. Or let's call it exclamations. Such kind of, I'm resounding this thing. In the years to come, you'll see the reason for it. Hallelujah. Theology cannot be outside scripture.
Take it or take it.
Amen. You just have to accept it. That is the truth. So what if we get small theology from archaeological material? Archaeology? No! It can't be theology.
We're going to see that as we progress, right? And then come alive as we progress shortly. Okay.
Something I forgot to say as we started was the fact that I want us to go back and listen to the teaching on the inward witness. Hallelujah. I've been listening to that for since yesterday. Amen. I have been listening to it since yesterday. Again. Hallelujah. Amen. So listen to that teaching again. Glory to God, because we are taking it off like that. Now, the Living and Perception series. We have two points. So just listen to that. It's short. Just put that for 1 hour 5 minutes each. So something you can listen to. Hallelujah. Because Minister Donnie COVID here. So that I get that right for short. Amen. Keep it very short. Very short. Four. Right. When I was listening to it, this after I was asking my brother, why just four? Most like a lot of things were not packed together. So of those things I will keep from there. Hallelujah. For you.
Yeah, but listen to it. Hallelujah.
Especially
as regards the use of the mind in the leading of the spirit. Very important. Hallelujah. Yeah. So let's continue. So I said Jesus is going to start to make sure see that theology, right? Did I say that? Okay, let me read what I have in my notes here. Okay, now let's see this. Jesus read from 39 and we found out from John 1 that Jesus is God. If I all through scripture, Jesus is God. Right? Now that shows you that God, let me put it like this, God read from the 39 book. How about that? Hallelujah. So God himself had to read from the words written by his men, by the men he used. That is interesting, and that is very vital for theology. Hallelujah. So God himself restricted his words to the words of the men that he used. It will come alive in this teaching. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So therefore, showing all that, we must stick to the boundaries of the written word in our study. Go back for ladies. In our study, in our teaching, we must stick to the boundaries of the written word. Hallelujah. So, very important. Jesus, when you read scriptures, Jesus talked to the words of the prophets. In fact, you'll find him quote Moses. He will quote the Psalms. If the Psalms the most, he will quote Moses. Why? Because that is what, or that shows you that there is boundary to our reading. So our explanation, we must find that boundary in the scripture. I hope you are following it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You must stick to the boundary. There are boundaries in scripture. Don't start looking for Negus Naga. We don't know that, don't know that. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't start looking for the lost books of the Bible. How does that concern you? Amen. Stop. Why are you looking for it? We are looking for the book of Judah. You will get his carrier. Don't worry. Amen? So stop it. Hallelujah. So never did Jesus speak down or condemn the writings of the men before him. When I talk about writings, I'm not talking about all the writings in the world, but the writings in scriptures of the men before him. Did you see that? Where this is men, this way is men. But he did not condemn. He did not speak down. You know some people that say, you know, some people do that the whole lot. Maybe you are the boss in the office and you send your junior, your downline to go and talk to someone. The person now comes and says, I want to, you know, don't mind what he has told you. I'm the boss. You are not talking down the person. No, don't do that. Hallelujah. I know there are people that do it. A whole lot. I know people that can be so bossy that when they have visitors, like it happened to me where I worked before. So one day I had to now do rebellion. I was rebellious. So don't learn that part. Hallelujah. I was very rebellious. But don't learn that. So whenever I have observed, but I kept quiet. Let me quiet. Whenever our boss has a visitor, everybody becomes rubbish. Just to show that the boss is around. You know what I mean? Like, by any way, go and buy me a mala. Just to show that I'm the boss. What nonsense. You know that? You've never experienced that. I don't experience it. It's not a good one. Hallelujah. Sometimes things that normally you submit. I say, okay, take my, say, oh, thank you. Mama, when there's someone there, there will be drama. I don't like it. When I say, give me something on time, you have to do your side. No, I will take it from you. No, you can take it from your guys. I will take it from you. I'm like, come on. So that makes it just a storyline, so you don't know what I'm talking about, that person is listening to me. Amen. Just the person and I now know. So the point that when the person is around, all my downlines, because my downlines report to me and I report to this person. So all my downlines will not come to the office. As in, they will go out. The moment they come in, normally they will leave, they're going to leave the office by 10, 11 for their normal office. They will leave as early as 8:39. People, what are they? They are not to come back by 3. They are not back by 5. And then we call it the people at the back end. Has she gone? Has she gone? You say he has gone, they won't come back. Everybody, what happened? Amen. No, don't be that kind of person. You're not a lion. You're a human being. Here we go. Don't turn people to you. Come on. Yeah?
Because of
it. Nonsense. Hallelujah. Here we go. So, Jesus never spoke down on these people before him. He never spoke down on Moses. No, Jesus never did. Hallelujah. Here we go. Because if he had, this looks very big here, but take it. That's the truth. If he had done that, then that shows he wouldn't be the Messiah. Hallelujah. Because the words that they wrote in 39 books were the words of the Messiah. Okay, following you. So that means for him to talk down their words is to talk down himself. Hope you are following me. Go to God. For example. So that means I will now have to reread some things that I felt where Jesus, or some things that I felt was Jesus talking down on the prophet. For example, John 5:45. When he said, "Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father." He said, "There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust." Hey! Jesus said, "It's Moses. Moses is the accuser. Moses is the accuser of the brethren." You know, people can form that as rhema. Hope you know that. It's the same word. It's the same Greek word used for the devil in Revelation. If you don't know, hallelujah. How about that for a rhema? He said, "We've moved out of Moses. Moses is accusation. Jesus is grace." Moses is accusation. Moses stands as Lucifer. You know, go Revelation. He said, "The accuser of our brethren." So Moses is the accuser. Jesus wasn't saying that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus wasn't saying that. When Jesus says, "There is one who accuses you." Let's take a look at that. When you use the word accuse, it's the word in the Greek categorio. John 5:45. Hallelujah. When you use the word accuse, that is the word categorio. That word categorio is used for how you throw a charge. To throw a charge. Or to pass a judgment, like in the law court. Hallelujah. Like in the court of law. I was told, don't call it court of law. Anyone teach. Hallelujah. So, when he says, "Do not think I will accuse you," there's one who accuses you. Now, permit the use of the word, there is one who accuses you. Hallelujah. If you look at that word carefully, what Jesus was saying wasn't putting Moses down. Neither was Jesus painting a contract with Moses. No. Rather, Jesus is saying that he was not going to accuse you again, saying that Moses has already received the accusation for unbelief. That's what he's saying. He said, "Do not think that I will accuse you further." You see that? There is one who has written his accusation already. Say, even Moses, whom you trust. So that means, if I read Moses, what Jesus is saying, if you go back to Moses, you will see the judgment for unbelief. Did you see that? Okay, follow me. Go. So just reading context, you will see.
How? Not talking about believing. Look at verse 43. He said, I come in my Father's name, and yet you receive me not. Did you see that? If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one? I mean, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another? And seek not the honor that cometh from God only. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So he was talking about belief and honor. So he goes to Anna and says, okay, the only thing that I will achieve you for what? Is it unbelief? Is it unbelief? Come on. Is it unbelief? Yes. The only thing that I will accuse you for your unbelief. Say, because there's already an accusation for unbelief. And it was written by the man you trust, Moses. Hallelujah. He was just writing to put down Moses. He was saying he wasn't going to do any further accusation. Because if you read further, he went ahead to commend Moses in verses 46 and 47. Are we following me? He says, for had ye believed Moses, ye would believe me, for he wrote of me. If ye believe not his writing, how shall you believe my word? Did you see that? So he's not putting Moses down. No. Hallelujah. He says, I wouldn't go for that to accuse you. Hallelujah. So that means when I read Jesus in John 3, verses 15, 16, 17, when he says, he who believed not stands condemned already, where was he reading from? Where was he reading that condemnation from? From the same Moses. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Very simple. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, if Moses was writing of him, it implies that the accusation will be what? Accusation of scriptures. Right? Inspired by the Spirit. Hallelujah. I like that. Hallelujah. Is it inspired by the Spirit? So it's like an accusation is very easy. This one is inspired by the Spirit. Glory to God. Amen. Okay, that's it. Look at something again in John 1:17. Before we get to John 1:17, then we'll leave Matthew. We'll leave Matthew 5 for next week. Hallelujah. Look at John 1:17. Very simple. John 1:17. It says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And Moses gave the law. Jesus is grace. Moses is accusation. Jesus is grace. Now we'll see the accusation in Jesus' accusation, right? Moses' accusation is Jesus' accusation. So what about the law? Say, no, Pastor, no. Even the Bible says, but grace and truth. That is because you are not reading well. Hallelujah. The box there is italicized. Let's read it again. The law was given by Moses, grace and truth, by Jesus. Right? Okay. Let's do some analysis of that word. Hallelujah. So when you use the word box, that box put there is actually a translator's bias. The translators have or interpretation, right? It, as an interpreter, you can play along words, right? You can play around words. Don't worry, women will discuss that. Hallelujah. How to play around words to go ahead in women. So, you can play around words to find a word that is suitable. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Translators can do that. Hallelujah. So, this is one of those words, and that is why the translators will put it italicized, that you know it was not part of the original. Hallelujah. Amen? So they are not wrong. But they are not also, it has in our time, is causing more imbalance than balance. Right? Right? Amen. Mean more baptism. You know what I mean? Baptism of the Holy Ghost is now water baptism of the Holy Ghost. Whenever you are getting the translation, just go back to that illustration. Right?
Amen. So let's go ahead. But we look at this, it was not a contract. John wasn't writing a contract. That is why it's good to read in context. In context. Hallelujah. In context. So in context with me, I'll have to read it again. Hallelujah. Amen. Something you would have to see, something I would we'll begin to get into from tomorrow into next week, is to see how the epistles or how the apostles wrote, even the four gospels. Hallelujah. Is to see how they wrote. What they were writing was not just a story. What they were writing is not just a story. They were writing theology in the eyewitness account. Hope you are following me. Amen? Theology. So that means I have to read it well. And they were writing from the scripture. So at the background of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke is where the 39 books. They're writing theology. And they're telling you this is scripture fulfilled in the person of Jesus. Hope you're following that. Hallelujah. So when he says, the law was given by Moses. Let's reread it well. What he called the law was given by Moses, he calls it, what it means is, the law was given by Moses, he calls that law grace and truth in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So if I'm to translate that verse, I will put it like this. The law was given by Moses, which is grace and truth in Christ. I'll put it, the law given by Moses is grace and truth in Christ. That's how we put it. No more Mosaic sky of carrying high Aletheia and Jesus or I saw. That's how I'll translate it. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory.
I'm not telling you to write Greek. I've explained it. Glory to God. So it's not a contrast, as I said. It's John calling the law given by Moses grace and truth in Christ. And we could read that grace and truth from Moses' writing. So remember we said the background is where the 39 books, right? So let's get to see that in the 39 books. Hallelujah. You'll find it in the 39 books because what John is writing, you'll find it in scripture. Exodus 34. We'll get to Exodus 34 quickly. Verses 6. In Exodus 34, verse 6. He said, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God. You see that? The Lord God, merciful and gracious. Is that grace? Is that grace? Long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. You see that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So, where would you find God's graciousness and God's truth? In Moses' law. Okay, following you. So, what John is writing is telling you, in the law given by Moses, you find grace and truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Grace and truth in Christ Jesus. That's what he's saying. He's not saying, Moses is the law, I am truth and grace. No! We wouldn't have any. Go to God. Hallelujah. Very important. So, that's it. Going back to Matthew 28 from verses 18. Matthew 28 from verses 18. We said Jesus had to read from Moses and all the prophets, the 39 books, right? Therefore, a good disciple, when he says teaching them, A good disciple will follow the same pattern. That's what we will find with the apostles. They will follow the same pattern. They will read the scriptures, teach it as Jesus taught. They will follow the same pattern, beginning as Moses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I said, we'll look at that maybe from tomorrow, next week. Hallelujah. Follow the same pattern. I will look at that pattern in the coming days. Hallelujah. Therefore, I should be mindful, careful of those who don't read the scriptures or who don't follow this pattern. There are some who don't follow this pattern. They don't read the scriptures. Rather, they say they listen to the Spirit in explaining. They say the Spirit is beyond the written word, and they follow the Spirit, who is the author of the written word. How about that for nonsense? Hallelujah. That statement itself, saying the Spirit was the one who explained to me beyond the written word, is error. That was the Spirit beyond. Whenever people want to walk in error, they will tell you, ha ha ha, I have the author of the scripture. I listen to him. That is not leading of the Spirit. That's nonsense. Because reading a book by Kenneth Hagin years back, he said something like, he was with a fellow minister, and the minister was saying something. He now, because he hasn't thought to do that, he just carried his Bible and said, "Sir, show me." The minister was speaking, was saying something. They were together, was saying some things about me. He said, "Sir, can you show me from the world?" And I said, "No, no, 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 no. What I'm telling you is beyond this thing. First of all, he called the Bible this thing. Hallelujah. This is beyond this thing." There's some people who say, "No, it's from the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is bigger than the written word." No. That's error. Just watch what the person will say next. Then will tell you the law, the Ten Commandments that was in Romans. That is what that kind of spirit can do to you. Hallelujah. He says, "No, can't you remember Samson and Delilah in the book of 1 Peter?" That is what that spirit can do to you. That's not the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Why? Because the Word and the Spirit are not in contrast. They are the same. The Word and the Spirit agree. The Word and the Spirit agree. Let's see that from scriptures. Or take us through some scriptures immediately. In John 3, from verse 3. Because he must came to Jesus and ask. In my question, Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Jesus asked, "How can a man be born again? He will have to go back to his mother's womb and be born the second time." And Jesus answered and said to him, Very, very, I say to you, and almost assuredly, I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he went further to say to him, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So he's called to be born again, to be born of the Spirit. I want you to pick that one. Let's see. I said, we're looking from scriptures, the Spirit and the Word agree. Right? "Remember not I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blew where it said, and you hear the sound thereof, and can't tell where it cometh and where it goeth. So is it that is born of the Spirit." Jump down to John 7:36. Oh, sorry, John. Okay, let's get to John 7, then come back to John 4. How about that? John 4, please. Let's go to John 4:14. It says, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall not thirst.
But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. Put your hands there and run to chapter 7. Let's see what he calls this water. Chapter 7, verse 37. He says, in the last of the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spoke he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Did you see that? Right? Should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Glorified means he hasn't ascended. Hallelujah. Now let's look at this together. So that means what Jesus will call his water will be what Moses called water. What did Moses call water? Moses used the water for the Spirit. He used the rock for God. Water will be for the Spirit. So Jesus' water is the Spirit. Where will the Spirit be? In the believer, right? The whom he gave, who believe on him, would receive. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So, come on. In John 6, he goes for that to now say verse 63. I'm just taking it one apiece. He said, it is the Spirit of quickness that the flesh profits nothing. He said, the words that I speak to you, said they are spirit and they are life. The word I speak to you, they are spirit and life. They are spirit and life. Or they are spirit that give life. Hallelujah. So the words are spirit. You see that? What is the word? Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. John 16. I want to follow that quickly. John 16. Are you John 16? For verse 7. He said, nevertheless I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, so the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Say, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Say, how be it? When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hears, that he shall speak, and will show you things to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when you use the word guide you, that word guide is a word used for how Philip will explain the scripture to the Ethiopian eunuch. So it's used for to explain. Hallelujah. So when he says, we'll guide you into all truth. Remember, he said, the word I speak to you are spirit, right? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. So he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you through the written word. And when do we see that happen? In the resurrection, Jesus explained the scripture. Hope you are following me. Hallelujah. So that means, the way the Spirit will guide me will be scriptures explained, the written word. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul will say to Timothy, all scriptures is given by the inspiration of God. He said, and is profitable for doctrine. This is that all scripture, the written word, is given by the inspiration of God. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. So that means the Spirit inspired the written word. And the written word can be seen as the communication of the Spirit. Hope you're following me. In human language. The written word is the communication of the Spirit in human language. Hope you're following me. Therefore, we can say the word and the Spirit agree. You see that?
The word and the spirit agree. They are not in contract. They are not fighting. They agree. They agree.
Okay, follow me. Because the written word, the written word agrees with the spirit. It's something we'll still look at next week and the week to come.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Just as what we said earlier, Jesus being God subjected himself to the written word. Therefore, the spirit is subjected to the written word. Because the spirit is God.
Hope you are following me.
Therefore, we can say the word and the spirit are one and the same.
Are one and the same.
Remember, if you listened to our teaching on the inward witness last word, I said the written word is information in the spirit, right? That is exposed, or that should be exposed to the mind, right? That should be exposed to the mind. So there are informations of the spirit. Glory to God. The written word are informations of the spirit. So they agree. Glory to God. They don't fight each other. No. One doesn't play down the other. They are together.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. They are together.
Amen and amen.
Amen and amen.
Glory to God.
Therefore, okay, let me put it this way. Therefore, that means in salvation, when a man accepts the word, he accepts the spirit. When a man believes the word, he believes the spirit. When a man believes, and I mean the word, believes in the gospel preached, right? He believes in the spirit. Let's see how Paul will put it. Let's see how Paul will put it. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4.
1 Corinthians 2, 4.
You see, when my speech and my preaching,
over to God.
So,
where were we?
Okay, that's another truth for sorry.
It says, is that my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom.
You see that?
Was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the spirit and power.
You see that?
Not with enticing words of man's wisdom.
He said, but with the demonstration. So, what does it do? He uses the word apodexis here.
Hallelujah. That means in the preaching of the gospel, apodexis is used for how you pour forth light on a dark subject.
So, what is he calling the preaching of the gospel?
He's calling the preaching of the gospel the work of the spirit.
Are you following me?
He's calling the preaching of the gospel the work of the spirit. So if you take this verse and put it together with Genesis 1:2, say the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. What was the spirit of God doing? The spirit of the Lord was hovering.
Did you see that?
Was hovering over the surface of the waters. Now the waters will be the heart of man. What is the work of the spirit? In the heart of man. That is apodexis.
And what will be that work? Putting forth light on the dark surface. Let there be light. Verse 3.
You see that? Pouring forth light. So that is the work of the Spirit in the preaching of the gospel. In Colossians chapter 4. Look at that. Colossians 4. Hope you're following me here. In Colossians 4. That's in Colossians 4 now. Yeah. Sorry, 2 Corinthians 4. Now let me see here. 2 Corinthians 4.
It's in verse 4. It says, whom the God of the world has blinded in the minds of them who believe not, live the light of the glorious gospel. Is that of Christ, whose image of God should shine unto them. Therefore we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves servants of Christ. Therefore God who commanded light to shine out of darkness was shining out to give light to the knowledge of God, to the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. You see that? Hallelujah. So he calls that Genesis 1:2 the preaching of the gospel. And it is the work of the Spirit putting forth light on the dark socket. Alright, follow me. Hallelujah. So the Word and the Spirit agree. Amen. It's not in contrast. I love what W. Kenyon will say. He will say there is the legal part and the vital part. The legal part is the legal part, the Word. The vital part is the Spirit of God taking up those words and working it out. I like that. Hallelujah. You're the same, one and the same. Amen. The vital, which is the work of the Spirit, is not abstract to the written Word. It's not abstract to the legal Word. Amen. So the legal and the vital is the workings of the Spirit with the legal. That's the same. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hope you are following me. Glory, glory, glory. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's go further. Very important. In 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12. So that means, listen, that means in the new verse, what a man receives is the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Just make sure you're there. 2:12. Sorry. You're there. Now, in the new verse, what we receive is the Spirit of God, right? So when I accept the Word, I receive the Spirit. Right? So then what is the Spirit? What is the Spirit? The Spirit. That's different Spirit. You don't hear that. That's different Spirit in the world. What Spirit is this? That's why it is 1:12. And then we'll receive. See, I'll start from, that should mean 10. No, okay, 9. Yeah, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. Chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. Neither have entered into the heart of man, that's 9. The things which God has prepared for them that love them. For God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. The Spirit started all things, yet the things of God. For one man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of the man which is in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man, save but the Spirit of God. Save but we receive. Not the Spirit of this world. No, they're the Spirit of this world. Hallelujah. But the Spirit which is of God. See that? So what have we received? The Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I love what the dear brother said. You know, if their brother, Cindy, he said something like, he said, be born again is a genetic reconstruction from the realm of the Spirit. That makes you just like Jesus. I like that. And what we will see, what we have I don't know, what is genetic reconstruction? He said, look, it is the Spirit of man infused, or the Spirit of God infused into the Spirit of man, making him a man that has never existed before. Wow, that's good. I see that in sound. That's good. That's real. Hallelujah. You know, that kind of special has never existed in the world before. So, genetic special. It sounds nice. Hallelujah. Like that. Genetic reconstruction from the realms of the Spirit that makes you just like Jesus. God doesn't want to heal. I'm not even that much. He wants you to be in hell. God wants to give you money. He wants to make you prosperous. God doesn't want to give you religion. He wants to give you faith to overcome and dominate your world. So I tell you how long you practice that thing. Amen. Amen. But you know, what we have is the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Spirit of God, what we have is the Spirit of God. That's what we've received in the universe. Wow. Glory to God. In John 8:12. If you're there, I'm going to read. It says,
It is. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Hallelujah. He says, he that followeth me. Now he calls, look at what he says. So first of all, let's take this. When he says, shall have the light of life, what do we receive in the new birth? The Spirit. So that means the Spirit is light, right? Right? The Spirit is light. So what do we receive in the new birth? Light, which is the Spirit. Now look at it. He says, he that follows me will not walk in darkness. Will not walk in darkness. That word walk is the Greek word peripatio. Peripatio. P-R-I-P-A-T-E-O. Peripatio. And that word is used for to be occupied. To be occupied. So, will not be occupied in darkness, but shall have. Did you see that? Have the light of life. And use the word darkness. That's the word scotia. Used for obscurity, confusion, lack of direction, but shall have the light, the folds of light, the folds of light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is used, folds is used for absolute light. Absolute light. Not the kind of light that is dangling. No, not a jingle bell light. You know what that means. It's not for not a jingle bell. Not Nigeria PHTN. You know, when you call light sometimes, and you call light to someone who stays in Nigeria, what comes to their mind is PHTN. You know what I mean? No way steady. Right? But when you call light, he's talking about absolute light. Glory to God. Absolute. You don't need generator. No. You don't need inverter. No. Absolute. Glory to God. Amen. Shall have the light of life. Hallelujah. Absolute light. Absolute light. So implying the Spirit received in the new birth is light. Absolute. So that means the believer has absolute direction. Absolute direction. Look at what Paul said in Ephesians 1. Let's see Paul in Ephesians 1. 1 verse 15. Look at what Paul said. He says, wherefore, I mean, verse 16, this is not to give them to make mention of it, my prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of God, may give to you the Spirit of wisdom. That was Spirit of wisdom, that's the wisdom of the Spirit, which is called revelation in the knowledge of Him. Did you see that? So, the wisdom of the Spirit is the written word. Then verse 18, say that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Go to God. That you may know the hope of the call and the riches of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of the power of His power to us who believe. So, where will you find the enlightenment coming from? From the Spirit. How about for ladies? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, that means, when I said the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, he was referring to your mind, right? Your mind, your eyes, your mind. And with what light is that talking? Is he talking about the light that is from the Spirit? From within. That is called revelation, right? So that means the new birth is light. The new birth is direction. Okay, for them, the new birth is light. It is direction. Sometimes when people, you know, most times when people want, people remember leading of the Spirit when they want to take decisions. That is when they remember, you can listen to the leading of the Spirit. Yeah. It's something that you should know. Hallelujah. Not only when you want to take decisions. Let me know if, and people remember leading of the Spirit when it's time to choose between a man friend and a woman friend.
Who should I marry? Who should I not marry?
That's when they really know the thinking. Am I doing it though?
Now that's when not started to speak of the speeches. You need to say, ah, Papa didn't talk about this part.
Can you talk more? Can you just enlighten me about this?
Ask the question, what do you really do for?
Most times, you don't learn to shoot a gun in the war front.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
When it comes to the living of the spirit, there is no mastery.
There's no mastery in the living of the spirit.
What about the living?
You know, mastery. It's not the living of the spirit. Amen. You just have to keep, most of the time I say this, just keep feeding yourself. Hallelujah. Don't worry about the only thing you teach us. You know, just by saying, I don't work in confusion. I don't walk in darkness. You are open to God's name. Hallelujah. Amen. God always leads his children. I say that to you.
See, you don't just need teaching on leading of the Spirit once in a year.
You don't need the leading of the Spirit once in a lifetime. No, you need the leading of the Spirit always. Amen?
That is why. That's something I'm going to share with us in this series.
Amen?
More practical.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to share with us in this series. But, you know, when it comes to the things, for the leading of the Spirit, you just have to be open to the Spirit. You just have to be open always.
Amen.
Especially as regards taking a decision among two types of opinions. Is it this or this? Because I'm fasting to know what the living of the Spirit is. I'm looking for the living of the Spirit.
You not hear that? I'm looking for.
So that is wrong word.
Hallelujah.
I said this to someone, that anybody who has been under my teaching at least for a year will learn not to say words like "I don't know." Easy.
You understand?
As much as it's good not to start claiming you know something that you don't know, but just say, "For now, I don't think I can give you an answer to that." I'm saying I don't know. Be careful. You understand? What is God doing now? I don't know. Just say that. Yeah. Someone sent me a message on WhatsApp. That was like, this over, before I traveled to school, say, 2 weeks now, 2 weeks plus, was telling me, somebody that you in the university will stop communicating, just when I came back again, just recently, and you know, I should pray for him. He wants to make a decision on marriage. And the lady likes the lady so much. I should pray. Is she the one? Yes, I pray for me. I want to know she's the one, so that I can continue with her. She reminded me yesterday night. I saw it this afternoon. I mean, it was this morning. I saw it this afternoon before calling. She said, "I've not heard from you." She said, "Now." I said, "Don't worry. The answer will come. I will reply you in due time." So that you don't say yes, anything happens. I've learned by fear the same. It's the one I said I should. If nothing happens, don't do that. Learn how you give advice. Not every matter you must keep your mouth. Hope you know that.
Amen. Someone I learned this years back. I don't know whether it's wisdom, man. Not this wisdom. I don't know whether it's wisdom. But you just give yourself a break.
Years back. I learned before I got married. Years back. If a lady comes and says, "Ask TV, want to get married, you get married for brother who are getting married to me." Comes and asks you, "Should I get it for this one?" That means to keep quiet. Because in their hearts, they know what they wanted to do. They just walk in the spirit. "Are you planning to? Which are you planning to wear?" Now you get another answer. "I was thinking this one is better." I said, "That one is better." Wait. Learn the right way. That is the living of the truth. Your mind is here. So why are you asking me for this? You don't understand what you understand for.
Amen.
No, 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 you understand. It's wisdom that will help your life. How about, should I wear this? I am saying, let's put in tongues together. Alright, come on. Talk to you. There's no leading on the street here. I'm just telling you just to be wise. But that deep does not work. The thing is not that says this again. Hallelujah. Amen. So Colossians 1:13. 12 into 13. Let's go ahead. Colossians 12, 1, 12. We're looking at the spirit, right? Colossians. 1:12. Is it giving thanks unto the Father, which has made me us me to be partakers of his inheritance of the saints in the light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated unto the kingdom of his dear son. Hallelujah. Saints in the light. So that means in a new birth, what we have is deliverance. Right? Translate is a leading. So the new birth is light, the new birth is leading. Light is leading. Direction. The new birth is direction. Hallelujah. The new birth is direction. So, in the new birth, you have the leading of the Spirit. Hallelujah. The new birth, you have the leading of the Spirit. So that implies that salvation itself is leading. You are saved is leading. You know, keep the scripture there. Hallelujah. Okay. We'll bring that up next week. Okay. Hallelujah. He's leading. So it will be wrong for a believer to say, I'm looking for God's leading. No. The believer isn't looking for God's leading. The believer has God's leading. All of God's leading is in the believer. Hallelujah. All of God's leading is in the Spirit in the believer. Hallelujah. So the question will now be for the believer to recognize God's leading that he has received. Hallelujah. In the new birth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All of the leading of God's Spirit is in the believer, is in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And the believer is in the Spirit. So therefore, the believer has to recognize. So the job of the believer, put it like that, is recognizing the leading of the Spirit. And that is where the mind comes to play. That is where a whole lot of things comes to play. Perceiving and working in it. So we are looking at following God's leading. Right? Following the inward witness. How can I follow God's leading? So it's all echo pastor. So we're going to look at the inward witness and we're going to look at leading and perception. The inward witness and how to follow the inward witness and the leading of the Spirit in general. Hallelujah. Amen. My role in not just perceiving. Most times people know this is what God will have them do, but they end up not doing it. So how can I follow it? Right? How can I follow God's leading? How do I know this is God's leading? How can I put it to effect? How can I follow God's leading? There are many more ways to see as we proceed in this teaching. And I trust the Lord. Right? Trust the Lord. Right? Much more. We will incline our ears to following the leading of the Spirit much more. Hallelujah. Amen. You learned something? I hope you've learned something. So turn to your neighbor and share what you've learned.